You'll find engaging illustrations, colorful layouts, and helpful charts in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation, 2017 Visual Edition. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation, 2017 Visual Edition. You've bought them the mini fridge. You've made sure that they have plenty of winter clothes for their stay in college when the weather gets cold. You make sure that they have paid for all their books and their tuition's ready. You get them all packed up, and then you take them off to college. Now, there are a lot of things to be done there, and it's going to be a very expensive prospect. Your child will be out of your house and living in a dorm, which is kind of a halfway house between your house and adult life. Maybe a quarter of the way house, who knows. There are going to be phone calls, there's going to be the regular communication, maybe you'll follow them on social media, but what is the best advice for sending your children off to college? It's a big step for them, it's a big step for you. What do you do and what comes first? Joining us to answer some of those questions on this Tuesday afternoon, Cheryl Magnus, managing editor of the Reporter Online for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Seven Tips for Sending Your Child Off to College. Cheryl, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Pastor. Thank you. It's great to be back.
As a mother, what's the hardest part about sending a kid off to college?
I think for me, it was simply the letting go. Especially, we're homeschoolers, or have been for many years now, and especially as somebody who was not only mother but teacher to my children, so with them most of their waking hours, suddenly the realization that I'm not going to be able to direct them as much in the way that I've been accustomed to hit pretty hard. So I think probably just the letting go.
You say the first, and I would assume here, the most important thing about sending your kid off to college is to go together and find a good church for your child before you put them in the dorm room, before you leave them there. Talk about that one, if you would.
Yes, that was number one on our list. Obviously, we wanted to pick out schools for our kids, or have them pick out schools that would be suited to their interests and what they wanted to study, and that would also provide financial packages that would make college doable for us. But even more important than either of those things was making sure that they would have a solid church family, a solid church foundation wherever they went to school. And we didn't necessarily insist that that had to be in the form of a campus ministry. Not all schools have that. So we looked at campus ministries. We also looked at college towns that had congregations in the area that our kids could actually get to. Neither one of them went off to college with cars, so it had to be something that they could either walk to or a congregation that provided transportation. And for both of them, their freshman year of college, they both ended up going to churches that were not on campus but off campus, but that provided transportation for them to get to and from church every Sunday. And that was a huge blessing and hugely important to just providing them some stability in those first months and throughout their college careers.
As parents, what were you looking for in that church? Because it's not unusual to find lots of churches around college and university campuses. It's kind of a place where churches tend to set up shop. But what were you looking for?
We were looking for churches that were grounded in just good, solid preaching and liturgical worship. Those were both very important to us. And a congregation that was going to take an interest in the college community and in our kids as college students. And again, we were very blessed to find those things in both of the college towns that our children ended up in as freshmen.
Why was the parent orientation important to you?
Most colleges will provide some sort of orientation for the students and their parents the week before college begins. And as people that went to school, went through college ourselves, not horribly too many years ago, you know, it'd be tempted to maybe not go to that thinking, we know all about college and we know what to expect. But we went to the orientation weeks for both of our college freshmen. And it was just a great opportunity to find out more about the school, to really kind of begin to identify with that school and develop a sense of team spirit, and to learn some things as well, to connect with the professors that our kids were going to have. We got to meet a few of them at both of those orientations. So it just helps you to get plugged in to this place that's going to be your child's home for probably at least 4 years.
I remember heading off to school, and I remember I wasn't the first one to leave home, but I was the first one to leave home and go 800 miles away. And to go off and stay at college for an entire semester, I remember lots of care packages. It was kind of my mom's way of keeping in touch. Why are those so important?
It's a way just to send your student, your son or daughter, a little piece of home. And I can't say that I did that as much as I intended to or as much as I would have liked, but especially that first year, I did try a couple of times during the year to send them a box of cookies and a note from home, something like that, just to let them know that they're being thought of and give them a little flavor of home. I mentioned in the article, you are likely to get something as a parent in the mail that first semester that is kind of a prefab care package that you can order and have sent to them, but it's not the same. They would much rather get something that mom either packed or, even better, made with her own hands.
Let's talk a little bit about kind of setting them up, their living space, and in many cases it's going to be a dorm room. Sometimes it's going to be with a roommate that they don't know. How do you go about doing that in the right way?
It can be really tempting when you're going shopping for the dorm, for getting them set up in their rooms. You know, you go to Target or Walmart, and they have the aisles all set up with all of the college things, and you can just go through those aisles and load up your cart. But my advice is to just get the bare minimum, and actually most of what they need, they probably already have. You may have to go buy an extra long set of sheets because dorm beds are often longer than regular beds. But, you know, they probably have most of what they need. So what we try to do with both of our kids is we moved them in, and then I was able with both of them to go back just a few weeks later after they've had a chance to live in that room for a little while and see if there was anything else that they really, really needed. In most cases, there wasn't that much. My kids travel lightly, though, so they didn't need too much.
I think one of the things that may be most unexpected for these kids, they get there, they are without mom and dad. That has kind of a heady exhilaration to it. And until something goes wrong, like they get a cold or they get sick. And then they realize being that far away from mom and dad is kind of awful when you're not feeling well. It may be the first time they've ever had to muscle through a sickness and keep their schedule and all the things they're doing without mom and dad there as a safety net. How do you deal with that?
That actually happened to my daughter the very, very first week. I mean, we dropped her off and went home, and then within a day or two, she was calling me, and she was sick in bed. And it was not only hard for her, it was very hard for me, because as a mom, you know, I want to be there with the chicken soup and the ibuprofen and whatever I can to help her feel better. And like you said, she had to muscle through it on her own. So it's an opportunity to grow up and to depend upon yourself as a young person. My suggestion in the article is what will make that easier is, number one, just have a plan ahead of time so that they know what they're going to do if they do need to get professional care. So whether it's a health center on campus or a nearby urgent care, just have a plan for that, for where they can go if they need assistance, and then also just make sure they're stocked with just basic over-the-counter remedies that they can use if they need to.
It's tough enough when your kids are sick and they're at home, because every parent has experienced this, that when your kid is miserable, you would rather be the one who's sick rather than having them be sick. It's one of those kind of things that's unique to the parent-child relationship. What's mm-hmm. that like long distance?
You feel very, very helpless long distance. Now, my two kids are rather different. My son, you know, is more like you might expect from a boy, so he's going to tough it out and maybe not even let me know that he's sick until after the fact. But my daughter is, you know, was more inclined to get on the phone and call me. And it's very, very difficult long distance to not be able to help out in the way that I would like to.
Let's talk about what is a temptation for us today that when I went off to school, my parents simply didn't have the ability to do it. They couldn't keep track of me. There was no way for them to do it. There were no cell phones. If they wanted to call me, they had to call a payphone in the dorm lobby, and it had to be prearranged. The communication was very sparse, and it probably was good for me at the time. But nowadays, Cheryl, you can track your kids. You can, as you say, you can hover over them electronically. What's wrong with it?
You can. It's a whole different world than when you and I were in college. And on the one hand, it's wonderful to know that your kids have these devices. And so if they run into trouble, they have just immediately at their fingertips a way of asking for help, whether that help is from you or, you know, from a policeman or professional. But the temptation is huge to be checking in with them all the time. In my case, the temptation was assuaged just a little bit because neither of my kids went off to school with smartphones. They both had dumb phones. So that makes it a little bit easier. And yet you can text with a dumb phone. So it's very tempting to just send a message through the day. How you doing? How's it going? And to want those updates. And my advice is to refrain from that as much as possible. Maybe pretend that, you know, we're back in the 1980s and you can only call maybe once a week and do your check-in call once a week and then just try to let them be independent for the rest of the week because they need to learn how to do that.
If your kid has an active social media account, if they have Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, would you recommend just kind of not paying 24-hour attention to what they're posting there?
That's probably a good piece of advice. Neither of my kids are very active on social media, so it wasn't a huge temptation for me. I mean, I would love to go and look at their Facebook pages and see if they posted anything, but they didn't very often. So that would probably be good, too. You know, it's a good discipline for each of us simply to limit our Facebook and our social media time each day anyway. So maybe just take that 15 minutes, half an hour at the end of the day, check your social media, check on your kids at that time, and try to hang back a little bit the rest of the day.
You leave as the last point for sending your kids off to college, one that could very well be right up there at the first one, along with the one we mentioned, and that is finding a good church for them, and that is to pray for them. Why is that so important, Cheryl?
I think, you know, my tendency is often to look at prayer as the thing that I do after the other things haven't worked, you know, when I'm sort of at my last resort. And it should be the very first thing that we do when we're trying to plan for our kids and their well-being, because it's the thing that's going to be the most helpful and the biggest blessing to them. You know, as they go off to school, they're going to be beset by all kinds of things. They're going to have temptations to make choices that perhaps they wouldn't have had to face when they were at home because mom and dad are looking over them. They're going to have teachers that are really going to challenge the beliefs that they've been raised with. About 10 or 15 years ago, I was doing some college teaching on a half-time basis as an English teacher, and I was in a faculty staff meeting where the department chair actually said to us, our goal here in English 101 or whatever it was, is to make these kids question everything they've ever been taught. And that's the mindset at many of our institutions of higher learning. So they're going to be challenged in every way. And the best thing that we can do for them is to pray for them. And then again, to make sure that they have that solid foundation of an active parish life in the place that they're going to school.
Finally, with a college student out of the house, that means often for the parent, there's a little more room, there's a little more time. There may not be any more money. There may be quite a bit less money because
that's right.
That's the reality of sending your kids off to college. But should parents give themselves permission to enjoy the fact that the kid is out of the house?
Oh, for sure. It does simplify life a little bit. rest in the knowledge that your kids, that you've given them that good, strong foundation. If you've set them up with a congregation in their college town, then they've got that foundation there. And relax in that knowledge and enjoy that extra time that you have when you're not hovering too much, you know, to maybe give some more attention to your own interests, to your spouse, and to the other children that may still be in the house. Right now I have two kids away at college, but I have one still at home, and it's nice to be able to give a little bit more attention to him at this time.
Cheryl Magnus is managing editor of the Reporter Online for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. She's author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Seven Tips for Sending Your Child Off to College. You can read it under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Cheryl, thanks.
Thank you.
LCMSU connects and supports Lutheran students as they head off to college and face those countless challenges to their biblical worldview, their ethics, and their practices. Check them out at lcms.org/LCMSU. That's lcms.org/LCMSU. When we come back, we'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker. We'll be in Matthew chapter 9 and Mark chapter 5. We have an account of Jesus responding to a real emergency. This is life or death. A little girl is dying, and yet he allows himself to be interrupted on the way. We'll find out why after this.
This is Dr. Daniel Gard, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia University Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and we are committed to our Lutheran confession and heritage. Please encourage the student in your life to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
Issues Etc. returned to the air on June 30th after being canceled by the previous leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod during Holy Week of 2008. For a special 10-year anniversary donation of $100 or more, we'll send you a CD of Issues Etc. listeners' top 12 hymns. You can make an anniversary gift online at issuesetc.org or by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
When pastors talk about us, they call us ad crucem. When laity mention us, they speak of ad crucem. When non-Lutherans address us, they say ADC Rucam. But no matter how you say it, Ad Crucem is the place to go for greeting cards, artwork, jewelry, ornaments, housewares, church certificates, church banners, and all your gift-buying needs. Visit adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through art and word. ADCRUCEM.com.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Zion Lutheran, Muscoda, Illinois. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Grace Lutheran, Auburn, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Pleasant Plains, Illinois. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word, Rochester Hills, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Laramie, Wyoming. Redeemer Lutheran, Seymour, Indiana. Zion Lutheran, East Moline, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, South St. Louis County. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.